Good morning. The gathering is in the inside of the order of service. We have come into this place of hope. We have come into this place of justice. We have come into this place of song. So let us celebrate this richness and diversity of life. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jim Cunningham, and I'm one of a gang of honorary associate ministers who hang around this place. Welcome to St. Andrew's on the Terrace on this late summer Sunday. And it is nice to see a bit of rain, although I suspect we're going to get more than what's nice. But welcome anyway. If you're a visitor, doubly welcome, and we invite you to come and share tea or coffee with us at the back of the church at the end of the service. And we do make good tea and coffee. Kia ora tātou. Our opening prayer, and it's followed by the Jesus prayer, which is on the laminated card. Today we celebrate a dream awakening. Today we celebrate with renewed hope in our hearts. Today we act on an audacity of hopes and dreams for the future. Today we begin the hard work for justice, equity, and compassion in all human relations. For today is a day like no other, and it is ours to shape with vision and action. And the Jesus prayer, Eternal Spirit, Life Giver, Pain Bearer, Love Maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your common wealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Do I have a volunteer to light the candle? Here we are. To blow the other one out. Good. Thank you. We light the rainbow candle because we're an inclusive congregation and there's a place for everyone here and there's a very special place for children. And this week we're going to do something different because we're going to sit on this side. And Cam's got something interesting to bring into church.
Morning, everyone. Sit down. Tomorrow, I'm planning on going on a journey, quite a long journey. I plan to ride my motorcycle. Why would I do that? Why do you think I would? Because it's a long way and it would be the fastest way to get there. Well, good answer. My real reason as well is I just like bikes. Anyway, here it is. And Dean has brought it in. And we're going to pack for the journey. And I want you to help me pack. Just a moment. You know, when in Jesus' time, he sent his disciples out on a journey, but there were no bikes, not even chariots for them. They had to walk, and Jesus wanted them to work really hard. His particular job that he sent them on was to cure leprosy and to cure mental illness and spread the good word. Leprosy and mental illness, eh? So no pressure. Anyway, to make sure that they were going to work really hard, he said, take no money. Take no bag. Not even a spare shirt or a new pair of sandals. But he did then say, for the worker is worth his keep. So I think Jesus expected his disciples to get jobs, maybe picking grapes, maybe helping with the fishing, maybe doing other things as well. Well, I'm going to be doing a little bit of work, but not much, and it is a long way, and it's not grape picking season, and I don't know much about fishing, so I am actually going to take some stuff and to pack some bags, and I want you to help me to pack them. Is that okay? Gather around. First of all, I'm going to pack some ideas. Idea number one is to have fun. Idea number two is to ride carefully. And the reason that I want to ride carefully is that I want to come home and tell the story. I certainly don't want to have a broken leg or anything else. So what are the things you think I should pack? Come and stand up and help me. Oh, bandages, the young man tells me. We'll put them in a moment. But there will be my jacket and my helmet. Is that all right? We'll look at them after. And what next, do you think? Do you think it might rain while I'm going on this long journey? It might just rain a little bit, and that's what the weather forecast says too. That's good. So we are going to take a parka and some over trousers. Should we put them in? Just you wait and see. So there's the parka and the over trousers. And the first aid kit with the bandages and band-aids and stuff. We put it in. And just in case I get stuck somewhere, do you think it'd be all right if I had some snacks to take with me? Would it be? Who would like to pack it, put in some snacks for me? All right, you put in the chocolate. And you put in those Oaty slices. And you put in some more. And we'll just put them in. Oh, yes, you can put them in there. That's good. And did someone say a tent?
Yeah.
Yes, this young man said a tent. Tent, check. And because I don't like lying on hard ground anymore, I've got a sort of an air mattress in there, which you don't have to blow up, and a sleeping bag. Hey, gosh, would you like to come along with me? You're so well prepared.
Have you got tent pegs?
Yes. Well, just wait. We'll just put the sleeping bag in, shall we? My sleeping bag's pretty old. That's why it's so big. So we put that in. Oh, camera! Would you like to put the camera in for me? We might put the camera in there so I can get at it very easily. Swimming togs, yeah, I might get a chance to go for a swim. Would you like to put my togs in? Yeah, just put them in there right now. And just in case it gets cold, do you think I could have some warm clothes? Maybe. Well, if we've got room, we will. So, warm shirt. What about these ones? These ones made of polypropylene. Very nice for if it gets really cold. No, wool's not so good because when it gets wet, it stays really wet and it's hard to get dry again. But it doesn't catch fire, so there we are. But polyprop is good. Right. If it caught fire, it would definitely warm me up, I'm told. Now, despite Jesus' instruction not to take any sandals, I'm going to take my sandals. So, would you like to put those in for me? Okay, I think we could put
some old slippers.
Well, I think not, for several reasons. One, it doesn't work well in a tent, and B, we're running out of space. Righto. Some socks. Who's going to put my socks in for me? You're doing all the work. Do you want to do some? No? Would you like to do some? Maya? No? Well, actually, that's for a different purpose. Nothing will go in there. Shall I just put these socks in here? We're sort of packing up a bit, aren't we? All right. And some shorts if we get a warm day and I'm hanging around doing something else. And a T-shirt. Yes? Yes? Everyone agree? Well, and what's this? What's this one? Oh yes, more shirts. We'll get onto that in a moment because we are going a long way, and we'll put in some socks and these. And the big question: where am I going? I am going to ride starting tomorrow morning. No, I'm going not to Auckland. I'm going the other way. I am going to Invercargill and back. Why? I want to see the motorcycle museum there, and maybe, just maybe, right along the beach where Bert Munro used to practice. And on the way, I want to check out an old tractor that might once have belonged to Admiral Byrd in the Antarctic. I want to check out a bridge I helped to build a long time ago. And, oh yes, and I want to go to a museum of old aeroplanes near where Roger and Susan used to live. Why? Because I like old aeroplanes, and these are beautiful ones. So, do you think that would be enough? Oh, there's a spare pair of strides as well. Can we put them in? What's that? We got them. That's one of these bags. And there's something I've forgotten. What do you think it might be? Toothbrush. That goes in tomorrow morning. So, we've been packing for a journey, and you have been helping me, and I think thank you very much. And if you think of anything else that I've forgotten, please tell me. But we are running out of space. Well, for the tyre, I did pump the tyres up yesterday, and when I fill the petrol tank up with petrol, I will look at the tyres to see if they need some more air as well. And because this bike is very old, to see if the engine needs some more oil, which it might. So, that's enough about my adventure. We're shortly going to go off to the Rainbow Room, or somewhere, and talk about your adventures, perhaps a new adventure of starting school again this year, or perhaps something even more exciting than that. Okay? Way more exciting. I look forward to hearing about it. So here we are. We can't pack much more, can we? The zip's only just due up. Oh, that. What is on the top? Can anyone climb up and see? A map. It's a whole book of maps, actually, and it's open at the page where the first bit is that I have to ride tomorrow, but I'm not quite so sure about. Picton, Blenheim, Murchison, down the Lewis Pass, Ashburton, Cromwell, Gore, Invercargill, Oamaru, Christchurch, where I'll see some of my family, I hope, back through Kaikoura to check that the earthquake repairs are done properly, and home to Picton, home through Picton. A week, if all goes well. Riding 4 hours a day, Lynn, is enough at our age. I might just ride.
That you might be interested in, and that's the place that's on 45 degrees parallel.
Oh, well.
So you will be halfway between the South Pole and the equator.
I will. I will. I will look out for it, Jim.
Just north of Oamaru. The other thing, Jesus didn't have a motorcycle.
No, he didn't.
But do you know Moses did?
Moses had a motorcycle.
Yeah, because it tells us that he rode down on his triumph. We wish you a safe journey.
Thank you very much.
And pleasant experiences, and we look forward to hearing them when you get back. So, we're going to stand in a circle, are we? Are you going to take my hand? And we say, we send you to the Rainbow Room program to hear stories, ask questions, and have fun together. We bless you. Amen. You go and have fun. And while the children are doing that, we enthusiastically greet one another with the peace.
The gospel reading this morning is from Mark, the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The contemporary reading: An Informed Anger, by Joy Mead of the Iona Community. People who are angry at injustice are compassionate people. They are filled with passion and they do not make docile citizens. Angry people, slaves and free people, forced the end of slavery in the British Empire. Angry people, men and women, won the vote for women. Angry people, black and white, brought an end to apartheid in South Africa. Angry people can change the rules. Compassion enlivens and empowers the heart and mind so that with an informed anger, we ask questions. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Thank you.
few weeks ago, I spoke about dreams. And I think I may have quoted someone who said, "Where there are no dreams, the people perish." Somewhere in the Old Testament, I think. And without dreams, nothing happens. Nothing happens unless first a dream. And last week, Susan was talking to us about the why at the center, the need for a why that keeps us alive and vital and searching. And for me, I made the connection for me between that why and the dreams and the visions that we have. We need to have those visions that feed what needs to be done. This year, in the lectionary, the gospel that we're looking at is the Gospel of Mark, the earliest gospel, written probably around about 70 AD. And it seems to me that there's a dream and a vision and a why that we can look at about Mark's gospel. Why did he write a gospel at all? And who is Mark? Well, that's easy to answer. We don't really know who Mark was. But he may well have been the Mark that was part of the hangers-on in the group of disciples. 50 years ago, when I was studying, and we did Mark's gospel, the suggestion was that the gospel was written in Rome, and that it was actually the thoughts of Peter, and that Mark was his amanuensis, his secretary, his scribe, and he was writing down Peter's thoughts and memories. And you might wonder, why were they doing that? And one of the reasons was it was a period of great persecution, and Christians who had been known Jesus personally were dying off or were being killed off. And so Mark had, I guess Mark's why was an obsession with Jesus. And so in this gospel, he tries to get down a whole lot of information so that it won't be lost. Information about Jesus that can be passed on. But there's another why in there as well that's related to his obsession with Jesus. In those early stages, and they're sometimes called the pre-church stage, or between the post-Reformation and the pre-church, there's quite a period of time when it was just little communities, little faith communities of followers followed Jesus. And they were beginning to narrow in, each of these, on different aspects of Jesus' life and what he might mean. And so at the beginning of Mark's gospel, the very first sentence reads, "The gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God." And within that wider community across the Mediterranean and the Middle East, there were some people who focused on Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. And there were subgroups in that too. There was followers of Jesus who was the teacher, Jesus who was the healer, Jesus who was the friend, Jesus who was whatever they saw in him. And there was a number of little communities based on that. And then there was those who were followers of the Christ, the Messiah, and who saw a much wider and bigger understanding of who Jesus was. And a third group related to that were those who followed the Son of God. And that was a phrase from Hebrew Scripture. And what Mark was trying to do, or the author of Mark's Gospel was trying to do, was to say to those diverse group of people, hey, this is the one guy. You know, Jesus Christ, Son of God. You're talking about the same person, you're just understanding him in different ways, and you're you're approaching him in different ways, but you're connected. You're part of the one group. So that was just a little bit of background about Mark, because the gospel reading today was for the Feast of Transfiguration. Yes, the Feast of Transfiguration. It's interesting that they changed the date of that in the lectionary, because Transfiguration Sunday used to be the 6th of August. And I remember reading a sermon by George MacLeod of the Iona community, who was preaching in Iona Abbey on the 6th of August, which was also Hiroshima Day. And he was drawing the two things together, the blinding light that gives revelation encouragement, and the blinding flash that destroys and maims and kills. That was a little side alley. This story, which we are looking at today, is a strange story. It doesn't always sit too well with us. But maybe there's some things in it that we can connect with. So let's have a go anyway. Jesus takes three of his disciples. When? Well, 6 days after something or other. But we know just before that, there was a very important event, and it was when the disciples recognized Jesus as the Christ. And that's the tipping point in Mark's Gospel in chapter 8. So he takes them up the mountain. Do you climb mountains? Some of you do. Some of us don't either. But when we hear he went up the mountain, we need to be aware that something significant is going to happen. Because mountains were significant in Old Testament. Sinai for the Ten Commandments. And Horeb, Mount Horeb. Who was at Horeb? Ezekiel, do you remember? The still small voice, the wind and the... So they go up mountains because mountains are the place that you go up to, so you're nearer to God. Mountains are a place of revelation. But there's also a sense in which mountains give us a wider horizon as well. So people climb mountains to expand their horizons. So Jesus takes them up the mountain and he's talking to them, and this weird thing happens. He all turns white, whiter than pearl white. And then these two figures appear, Moses and Elijah. What's the significance? Not how did they do it, but what does this mean? Well, Moses and Elijah were the two prime people in Old Testament times. Moses was the lawgiver, and Elijah was the first of the prophets. So they represent up there on the mountaintop the law. And let's not get into legal law. This is more like the gospel in the Old Testament law. And the prophets. Now, let's just for a minute take a step back, because we've jumped a whole lot of Jesus' life and experience to get to this point. He'd been traveling around. He'd been teaching the disciples. He'd been healing and all the things that we know about. And now he gets to this point. But remember, we talked about Jesus in the synagogue having the dream, finding his why in the words of the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, so on and so forth. So here he is, towards the end of his ministry, up this mountain in front of Moses and Elijah. And they represent an affirmation and an encouragement of the dream that he's been living. Elijah represents integrity that turns into suffering. Integrity that leads to suffering. And that's part of the prophetic voice. Prophets don't always come out of things very well. And that's what Jesus is being reminded of here. And Moses is the delivery from slavery and oppression. And so these two things are brought to Jesus' attention, but mainly through Mark to our attention, that here on this mountaintop, we are being reminded that for the followers of Jesus, that integrity may lead to suffering. And we're in the business of leading out of Egypt, out of oppression, to new possibilities. Now the disciples were thinking, what on earth is going on here? And Peter has to say something. So he says, let's build little booths. And you can have one, and Elijah can have one, and Moses can have one, and we'll all be happy up here together. But isn't that what we want to do too? We have these experiences that gladden our hearts and make us feel good, and we want to contain them, keep them, put them there, so we know where they are, so we can go and touch them and maybe get a bit of warmth off them or some inspiration. But Jesus says, no. We're going down there. And it's important to recognize that Jesus goes down the mountain to confront all the things that we want to go up the mountain to avoid. He goes down to confront Jerusalem. He's been working around the provinces. He's had a great reception. He's well known. He's seen as a threat by the authorities. But now he has to set his face to Jerusalem, because he knows that in spite of all that he's done, it's the structures that have to change. And not just the physical structures, but structures of people's minds. He has to change the mindset that they've got themselves into, the authorities of church and state. And that's what he does. And we'll be learning more about what happens, although we already know. I came across a little quotation, and it said, it's not the bits of the Bible that I don't understand that worry me, and it's not the bits that I haven't read that worry me. The bits that really worry me are the bits I've read and understood. And it's true, if we take them seriously. So Jesus comes down the mountain on this Transfiguration Sunday and sets his face towards Jerusalem. As we, this Transfiguration Sunday, set our face towards Lent, which begins on Wednesday. And we are reminded of the things that we need to take with us into Lent. things perhaps that we don't use as much as we should. Maybe we need to take an openness of mind. And we need to warm up our compassion. And, well, I'm not going to tell you anymore because you have to work out for yourselves. You know what you need to take on the road to Jerusalem. It's time for us to come down from the mountain and hit the road. Bring our gifts and money, gifts of money and food, that we may continue the journey and help others on theirs. We pray. We give because we were first gifted with love and this world. We give because this church needs to flourish. We give food because others have little. May these gifts find their purposes. So may it be. Amen. Time for notices, and if you have a notice, can you move forward and speak?
Hello, I'm Graham Howell. For those of you who do not know me, and it's with regard to the social justice group, we're not going to be the third Sunday this month, it'll be the fourth, which is the 25th, and it's hoped to look at Wellington's water in its needs, and in a related way, Sonia hopefully is going to tell us about how to go about measuring our climate footprint so that we can know where we are at and moving forward to try to moderate our individual efforts into helping with ameliorating the impacts of climate change. So the 25th is the Sunday, so it's about Wellington's water and our climate footprint. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Rosemary Lawrence. This is a reminder, after we gather for tea, coffee, conversation, ponderings, there will be, this is Congregational Conversation Sunday. And when you hear the sound, That's a gathering because my bell doesn't make enough noise.
Good morning. I'm Susan Jones. I'm the minister here, but I'm really grateful to Jim. I needed to go south unexpectedly because my dad broke his hip. And so we all rushed down there and we were all very anxious, and they decided they would give him an anaesthetic, and he comes through the operation fine, and there he is sitting up there, happy as Larry, at the end of Friday. So I was quite glad I had booked a flight for Saturday before they climbed out of the atmosphere for price. So it's all right down there, and he wants to be transferred as soon as possible from Gore, Q Hospital in Invercargill to Gore, so he gets lots of visitors. It reminds me of someone else I know called Francis Porter, actually. Yeah. So thank you for those who knew the whole story. Thank you. I got back. I was meant to land at 3 p.m. yesterday, but got diverted to Palmerston North for fog, and so I got put on a bus, and so was practically stopped or crawling outside David Galt's farm gate and Pat Booth's gate. Pat, by the way, has broken her ankle. I don't know if you all know that. So a few calls, perhaps, to her Ōtaki phone number would be appreciated by her. Jim mentioned Ash Wednesday. That's this coming Wednesday. And you'll see in your order of service, we have a little gathering upstairs at 6:15. We tried to get it right for gold cards and things like that. At the congregational conversation, there are a couple of things. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to come back. A couple of things I want to float for us to start talking about. And one is putting more focused effort into transgender issues. You might have seen Jim Traylan on the news during the week, and there are some issues there that need support, and they're different from sexual orientation issues. And so if we can start that conversation today, that would be great. And Graham referred to his group as the social justice group, and that's causing some confusion. So we want to also start looking at how we create a network or framework for our faith and action things that we do, which is a very, very broad umbrella full of different issues. How do we organise that so that people know where to go for different issues in that whole social justice area? And the reason that he's having his group on the fourth Sunday is that I asked him to, so that I could have my study group on the third Sunday. So next Sunday will be study group after church.
Let us pray. At this time and in this sacred place, in the calmness and stillness of the morning, as we continue to reflect upon the why, let us pray for deeper understanding of the why and its impact upon us. As we begin a different journey from late summer towards early autumn, from Epiphany towards Lent, from more light to less light, and from warmth to coolness, may we continue to be aware of your presence. Let us continue to be seekers and look for ways to expand our horizons. Help us to be passionate and compassionate and to follow Jesus' way. We give thanks for the time we have had to be here, for time to breathe and think, a time to dream and speak, and most of all, for this time of being alive together. In the prayers of the people, we are asked to pray for Elle, that she may find peace. And in the circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Costa Rica and Panama, and the environmental and conservation organisations in Costa Rica and Panama and throughout the world. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Trevor Mallard and Jenny Marcroft, Labour and New Zealand First MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of St John's Cooperating Church in Waipawa. And we join these prayers together with the prayer for St Andrew's, which is on your laminated card. If you're visiting with us this morning, please make this the prayer for your people and your community, and also for ours. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ. and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Go now in peace and in joy to love and to serve. And remember that wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are surrounded by the love of God.